If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show. I'm Adam Weinreb, joined as always by Fansiders MLB Insider Eric Cole, our prospect guru. Thank you for joining us today. And by the way, we just had a pretty familiar prospect debut this week. Good time to be on the Prospect Show. Roman Anthony is here. It was an eventful debut. I admittedly made this outline before the debut and was like, react to the debut. And then, wow, a lot of good, a lot of bad. And one of the weirdest games of the year. So welcome to Major League Baseball, Roman Anthony. What does it mean? What comes next? How do the Red Sox fix this outfield logjam? Does it need fixing? Plus, just as importantly, which prospects are next to get the call-up after the Red Sox made the most overdue move of the season so far? Eric and I were a little worried that some of these guys would come up today, but so far, so good. So we'll talk about them. And I have an annoying name, just a little purple devil face to be that little frustrating Yankee fan here for everybody. Plus risers and fallers of the week, all that and more. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. This has been kind of a wild couple of months in terms of prospect promotions. Usually if we see a lot of them, like top names, it's pitchers, right? Because like those are the kind of that is the most fungible asset in baseball. It's like those guys get hurt and you kind of have to fill those guys in, so eventually you'll have to start calling up your top arms. But at the same time, like, this is a little bit different. And again, I'm not gonna say all these guys are gonna pan out, but I mean, when you have Jack Caglione followed by Roman Anthony, and you've already had Kurtz, and you've again, like, just it's been really genuinely fun to kind of follow prospects right now. We've been doing draft coverage the last couple of weeks because frankly Adam and I enjoy talking about the draft, but at the same time it's kind of nice to get back to the minors a little bit and kind of talk a little bit about what the movement has been and why. And it's, again, it's supposed to be kind of really fascinating to watch.
And Roman Anthony, the pomp and circumstance leading to the man himself breaking his own big league elevation just from a car, kind of being like, yep, that's where I'm driving. It could have been more exciting. I'll give it a 3 out of 10 for execution. Is Roman Anthony boring? More on this at 11. We'll see. But so far, his contact profile certainly isn't. You can ask us questions between shows. If you've got prospect questions, join us in the Discord. You can become a member of the Baseball Insiders. All you have to do is hit the join button below the video. You get a private Q&A with Robert Murray at 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays, but obviously plenty of time in between to talk to Robert, Eric, myself, just chat baseball, but also ask us any very specific questions. If you're an all-star, you get priority access in this particular chat. We thank you. If you're here on YouTube, noon Eastern time on every Tuesday, or if you're on all podcast platforms, we are there as well. Subscribe to the Moonshot. That's our weekly baseball email newsletter where the fan-sided MLB team, including Robert Murray, including Eric Cole, break down all the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, and behind-the-scenes info. You can also read that and more on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com. That's fansided.com/baseball-insiders for the content that accompanies the podcast from the staff writers at Fansided and at fansided.com. Eric's got a prospect column that goes up before every show and accompanies the show. Read that. Get back to me. Show up in the comment section with questions and feedback. All right. The Roman Empire is here. Debuted last night. There was definitely a moment in history where I thought, okay, there are only two ways this ends up. Either the Red Sox finally win a one-run game after 2.5 months of never winning any of them without Roman Anthony, and then every Red Sox fan gets to point directly at it and go, see, there's that, we told you that he was going to whatever. Or they lose a one-run game after Roman Anthony, a rookie making his major league debut, overran a ground ball that found him in right field and led to an additional run that never should have scored. Ultimately, That was an impactful run. They lose by two. There's some umpire shenanigans. They tie the game down to their last strike in the ninth on a one-inch chopper in front of the plate by Christian Campbell that bounces 50 feet in the air. They tie the game again with two outs in the 10th on a ground ball to first base where the Rays just decided we'd rather not get an out here. Sort of a little karmic payback for when the Rangers walked off, got walked off by the Rays last week on just a ground ball where nobody covered. The Rays somehow, of course, win both of those games, the one where the Rangers bungled it and the one where they blew it. So maybe the Rays are the ones touched by the hand of God. But either way, Roman Anthony got his first major league RBI in closing that gap in the ninth. The defensive play was strange. If you are someone who is wondering what his defensive future is, his first game jitters, you know, I don't know what questions that answered for you, but wasn't really the most exciting part of his profile. But 210 mile an hour plus ground balls, one drilled Shane Baz. Wouldn't want to be Shane Baz last night for many reasons. But overall, the ups and downs, I mean, he didn't exactly hit the ground running with a 3-for-5, two doubles and a homer, but the tools were loud and obvious, and he's someone who should have been up in this Red Sox lineup weeks ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they should have called him up a while ago. It was very clearly service time / super two manipulation and all that stuff. So, I almost feel better for him that, like, his first game, he didn't go wild. Just so, like, the hype train around him kind of just comes down a notch or two, and he can kind of just get used to playing in baseball. If he had, like, gone 3-for-5 with a home run last night, it would have been a complete circus until he had a slump, right? Yeah. And, again, he drove in a run. It was an impactful run. You know, like, it got them a little bit closer in the ninth, and then, obviously, you know, defense wasn't great, but I'm not going to, like, he's generally a pretty good defender, so I'm not worried. I mean, again, your first game, sometimes you're going to do some silly things. That's completely fine.
And the run he drove in looked like a two-run single up the middle. It was just played perfectly by the Rays defense that was shaded for Roman. For a guy in his major league debut, the Rays already knew exactly how to shade him. Just shake your fist at the Rays. They prepped very well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the Rays are the kind of team that's going to, like, really dig into your data. And in your debut, they're the one that's going to have a game plan for you. So that I am happy with his debut overall. He didn't look lost. Again, there were some hard hit balls there. I'm almost happy now that there was no issue with, you know, tonight isn't going to be the circus that it was last night. No matter when he got called up, the media was going to surround him, right? But at the same time, him, like, starting off slow, it's not going to, like, turn the Boston media against him yet. That's probably going to get him, you know, two or three games minimum. I think they'll give him a series before they start going after him. But at the same time, maybe they don't, like, constantly, like, you know, he's the next coming of whoever, right? So, again, I thought it was a fine debut. It was certainly way, way overdue. And we've been shouting about that for a long time on this podcast, for sure.
Yeah, and we'll continue to. The question is now, what comes next? You know, the Red Sox are handing the keys to Roman Anthony. They should be. I don't think there's a world in which he isn't on this team as long as he is healthy for the rest of the season, because you want to unleash the fires of hell in the Boston media. Demote Roman Anthony in 2 weeks when Willier Abreu is back and ready. But that leaves Yoshida, who has been sent to the netherworld. We'll just never see him again, I guess. Rafi Devers is your DH. Alex Bregman, when healthy, plays third. Abraham Toro is hitting in the mid-300s with a 900 OPS. Tough to get rid of, but they probably have to. Rafael at center. You DFA Trevor Story. Move Rafael to short. There's so many moving pieces. Abreu, Duran, Roman, Marcelo Meyer now in the infield. I mean, too much talent. The stupidest problem in baseball, because the solution is just, like, I don't know, be good no matter who's playing. Like, it's a classic, like, fans arguing about stuff, and in reality it's just like things are gonna work themselves out. You know, Abreu's hurt, someone else will get hurt. But long term, Abreu, Anthony, Rafaela, technically Yoshida, Duran, too many names and too many mouths to feed and too many people to pay. So Duran on the block. Robert and I have talked about a Padres trade. Rafael has got that long-term extension, probably not going to be traded. Abreu has to enter the trade mix, but also he was the Red Sox offensive MVP for the first month of the season. Do you sell high on Abreu? Do you sell medium on Duran, knowing that he's got a ceiling that he displayed last year? Do you bet on this being the version of Duran who exists moving forward? I mean, what are they going to do, and what do you do, Eric?
They have to trade from their outfield depth for sure, and I think that the answer would have been Yoshida, except that they've really torpedoed his trade value. So now you're really selling low on him. You know, obviously he has the injury, but like they've also like just, again, they just act like he doesn't exist. It's not like there's not lots of updates. They're just like, yeah, he's hurt. That's the end of that. So, well, I foresee a world where they trade Duran, because if they're hanging around in the playoff race and he is only playing okay, that you can find a team that's going to bet on the years of control, is willing to pay up to get him. Maybe you think that it's not going to work out. I think ideally they'd love to trade to Trevor Story, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I just don't think they're going to find any takers to take on that money and hope that he used to be the guy he once was. I mean, you mentioned this is kind of the dumbest problem in baseball, but it kind of is, because they have a bunch of really talented young guys, and then they have like a few older guys who are just owed too much money for too long to do anything with, or like are like position locked for one reason or another. In the case of Devers, it's because he basically refuses, right? Yeah. For baseball, I was traded early on. So I'm almost anxious, because again, you called up all these guys, and again, fans were calling for this. This is what they wanted, but now you have to follow through on it. And I can almost understand Boston's perspective. Like, if we make the move, then what do we do after that? Because other teams are going to know that they have a sense of urgency, that they need to move guys, move at least one guy, probably two, off their roster. Does that mean they're not going to get the asking price that they want? And I don't have a great answer to that. I think that Duran probably brings you the best return, because he had a full good season last year, whereas like guys like Abreu, Yoshida have been a little more speculative. In Yoshida's case, there's the injury issues, but I don't really know what Boston should do other than be contacting teams that have a lot of pitching, contacting teams that like have high-end bullpen help for them, and then seeing kind of what deals they can get done that might include some of this big league roster talent. Because honestly, you know, now they promoted these three guys, their farm system looks a little bit less scary these days.
Yeah. And Rafaela, like, you could DFA Story and move him to short, but then you have an unbelievable center fielder playing a fine shortstop. Like, Rafaela has an OPS under 700. He's an exciting baseball player, but a lot of that value is derived from defense. You're not putting Denzel Clark behind the plate, right? So we'll see how it works out. And again, too much talent. You're going to get a lot. Too much talent is going to get a lot of Boston media scream sessions, only for the end result to be like, well, the team's good anyway. But they do have some real issues to sort out. I would lean on the side of Anthony's debut was delayed because of stupid clerical bullshit rather than a logjam of talent. But it was a legitimate reason. And honestly, Craig Breslow, again, more bad communication from Craig Breslow, should have cited that positional logjam instead of being like, he needs to work on his approach on the breaking ball.
Very obviously lying.
Yeah.
You know.
Makes the lie a little bit less clear if you talk about a real issue you have, instead of being like, we don't love how upright Roman's stance is. Like, no, you don't. You don't care. Especially because he changed nothing and now he's in the major league.
Well, and especially since you have Christian Campbell, who had like a genuine real swing concern, and you had no interest whatsoever in fixing that before he came up. You just put him right there on the opening day roster. But then you have a guy who's probably better and definitely was playing better in the minor leagues. And all of a sudden, no, too upright. No.
Yeah, we got a lot to fix. Well, okay, best of luck. He's going to do it in the big leagues now. He finally broke that barrier. And there are a few more guys who could be up next, not necessarily on the Red Sox per se, but top prospects throughout baseball, who now we will attempt to project their call-ups and arrivals. It's been a long time coming. I honestly wondered which podcast we would do first. The Roman Anthony arrival or the Bubba Chandler arrival, but it's Roman, it's the Red Sox. Do you think this is enough to swing a playoff spot, by the way? Do you think that this is like the beginning of Boston making that move, or is this just setting themselves up for 2026 and beyond? Because they've got to, in my opinion, totally, totally a viable playoff team still. They're not in a hole, but they do need to make the move that you just described. They need to swing that high-profile pitching addition using some of their talent in order to make that a reality.
I think the move's necessary, and I don't need – look, if Roman Anthony's hitting 250 with, like, a 720 OPS, that doesn't move the needle, right? The Red Sox have no shortage of those guys. They need, like a true, like, aircraft carrier type who, like, will sit in the middle of the lineup and do a lot of damage. Will that happen? Unclear. But I think it could swing the playoff race. But, again, I think the Yankees are good. The Rays are constantly sneaking around. I think it's probably too late for the Orioles, but they're playing better. So, yeah. And the Blue Jays are kind of, you know, on the periphery. So it's not an easy division to win anyway. So you need like Anthony to play well, plus pitching help. I think that the pitching help will come. I'm not sure exactly how impactful that'll be because the trade deadline is so, again, it's far enough away. We still don't know who's really even going to be buying and selling right now, except for a couple. I mean, like the Rockies would definitely sell just about anybody, but like the list gets a little bit pretty short after that. So yeah. I think it could, but I'm not like sold. Like, again, I like Roman Anthony. I think he's going to be a very good player, but right off the rip, I'm not going to say like the guy is going to be an all-star level talent, which is probably what Boston would need to.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Kind of make that big turnaround.
And they've got some deeply, you know, the AL playoff field is deeply weird. So like they're 4, 4.5 back or something like that of the Rays and Jays. But then you've just got all these, like, they're right up, they're clustered with the Angels and Rangers. They're clearly better than those teams. But then the ones above them, it's like, what are the Guardians? What are the Twins? Like, what are the Mariners? Are any of these teams scary enough where you're like, oh, Red Sox are going to have a hard time tracking those guys down? Not to me, but it's got to start now. You know, you can't be under 500 for very much longer if you want to, you know, seriously wedge yourself in here. I think the Rays are better than we thought entering the year. I think the Blue Jays are scrappy. I wouldn't be shocked if the Blue Jays net a playoff spot. I think the Royals are the team that the Red Sox should be afraid of in terms of, like, if we heat up, this team's going to heat up too and take that playoff spot. You know, it's not just going to be the dregs forever. So can't rule it out, but they're going to have to make that big deadline deal. And Craig Breslow has been hesitant to make that type of investment in teams that he doesn't fully believe in. He's an odd executive so far. So far. It's been like a year and a half. So far, right? I don't really know what his MO is. He did everything they needed this offseason, but it took a long time and a lot of cajoling and a lot of convincing, and the Bregman thing kind of screwed up the rest of the depth chart. So that's enough Red Sox. 16 minutes on the team that called up Roman Anthony feels like enough. So who's next? Who are the other players that we have our eyes on who could be joining their big league team soon? And it has been a very fun first half for debuts and for card collectors like Eric and myself who are watching Series 2 and Topps Update. But who is next? Who can we pencil in, and when might we expect it?
So in my column today, I identified 3 names. Now, the idea here isn't like ranking like here's the top 5 player, you know, top 3 players still in the minor leagues that are in the upper levels. It's not even a ranking of the AAA prospects. It's guys who have like are high enough in the minor leagues, but who have also demonstrated like have enough track record in AAA or the high minors. I mean, AA would be fine. To justify a call-up, right? And for me, the first one, and it's one that I think that we both agree we thought was going to be on the opening day roster for the Brewers, is Jake Mizorowski, who is, again, you know, flamethrower, fastball slider guy, strikes out a ton of guys, but he kind of screwed himself in spring training because he, you know, couldn't find the strike zone at all. And they noticed. I mean, it was very, very clear. So they sent him back down. And it took him a little while. It took him three or four appearances to kind of get things more reined in. But now he's been kind of insane. Again, still the high strikeout numbers. The walks are still kind of a problem. But again, like, you know, a 2 ERA at AAA. Every time he starts, it's like some crazy, you know, 9, 10, 11 strikeout game. The nice thing about Mizorowski in this context, though, is that he could be starting help, or if you need bullpen help, he fits that mold too. You could bring him up and be like, hey, we need a lockdown bullpen arm, and you can be that guy. So again, that's the first name I recognize. Again, I like him a lot, and hopefully he can, you know, continue to find the strike zone, because if he starts walking a little bit, it could be a problem. The next one's Samuel Basayo. I'm a little bit hesitant on this one because, and he's a fun one, right? Because he's been hitting better lately. He started off kind of slow. He's dealt with some injury issues the last couple of years. The issue is his position and how the Orioles would use him. I am certain that the argument that they're making right now is that we can't bring up a catcher as long as we have Adley Rutschman on the team. Now, Adley's playing better, but before that, Adley was not playing very well, and he might be a guy that can't just catch 80% of all the games. You know what I mean? He might need, you know, some time at DH, maybe playing a little bit less overall, and then you have a guy like Samuel Basayo who could, again, be that DH. You could throw him in at first base if you need to, and then, you know, play him at catcher as well. I don't think he's as good as a defensive catcher as Adley, but at the same time, he's, you know, the guy can hit. And he's showing that he can hit. He's been in the upper minors for a while now. This isn't like, you know, maybe last year, especially the year before, where he just like had done all of his damage in the low minors. He's shown that he can do damage against quality pitching. And I think that for that Orioles team that really thought they were going to get over the hump and make a run at the playoffs and instead truly cratered to start the season, not unlike my Braves, he seems like a guy that could potentially help, especially since the pitching, they need pitching up really, but they don't really have it in their minor league. So they're going to have to trade some of those young guys to get some pitching help, and then hopefully Basayo comes up and can help them. The last one, Bubba Chandler, you alluded to him at the top of the show. Still don't understand. Well, I understand why Bubba Chandler is not called up, but it's frankly criminal. Mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous that he's had to wait this long. He's just mowing down AAA hitters left and right. All he does is put up good starts. He puts up good numbers. I don't even know what metrics the Pirates could possibly be looking at other than their bank accounts to justify not having him up. He's, again, another guy that in spring, unlike Mizorowski, who had a bad spring, Chandler was good. And the Pirates sent him down as soon as humanly possible so they didn't have to hear those questions anymore. And that kind of feels bad. I do think he'll get called up. He's the one that I think could be in a week, 10 days. I think that could happen. That will get the Pirates probably safe from the, you know, the Super 2 stuff and, you know, get them the extra year service time, but then bring him up. Because, I mean, the Pirates aren't playing bad right now.
No, they're not. Somehow.
They're not.
The Pirates had me Googling how far out of a wild card they were this morning. The answer is far. I think it's like 11 games. Yeah, so
They have work to do. But again, a rotation with Skeens, I mean, Jared Jones is out. But, you know, with Skeens and Chandler, they're going to win some series they shouldn't, for sure. And they could put together a run with that kind of with that quality pitch, especially since apparently Bailey Falter can't give up runs. So it's kind of a weird position, but I mean, Chandler's the guy I think is probably the closest, although I wouldn't be shocked if Mizorowski got some love too, just because he can like kind of, if need help from reliever or starting, and the Brewers have had some injury issues. Again, I think that those are the two guys who I think are the closest.
Absolutely. Don Kelly, one game over 500 as Pittsburgh Pirates manager. What does that mean? That is for you all, the listeners and viewers, to decide. I'm just simply saying things that are true. John, you got the John Heyman tweet last night. That's like, you know, it's legit. John Heyman watching the Pirates instead of watching that bonkers Red Sox-Rays game or whatnot. Or he's just keeping track of everything like the rest of us. Denzel Clark, obviously, probably the number one jaw dropper from last night. Cardinals Jays, also fun and good. If you're watching Jonathan Clase hit a game-time nuke off Ryan Helsley in the ninth after a crazy Yvonne Herrera comeback three-run shot baseball. It's good, just be good sometimes. Sometimes it's just good. I'll also be in Baltimore to see Tarek Skubal on Thursday. So, Baltimore bros, if you have any recommendations, I'm just saying this on every show now. Like, if there's something I should do, let me know. I'm your guy. I want to do stuff. I don't want to just go to Baltimore. So tell me where I should go, what are the ballpark I should do. People are recommending the value menu. I think, I mean, that's nice. I like value, but maybe I would also take a unique experience.
There's definitely some Baltimore and almost Oriole specific beer that's going on there. That's something that certainly seems something that could be explored for sure. And Baltimore's kind of a fun city. I haven't been there in a long time though.
I haven't been there in a long time. I really like when I go. So let us see and let me know if there's new stuff. How about the risers and fallers from the past week of action? If we are talking about the guys who are still down in the minors, the primary names that you know, who is hot and who is not. Some folks who are not are, in fact, on the shelf and iced up for quite a while. So we are talking about unfortunate injury news rather than just on-field poor performance. But let's start with the heaters. Who is on fire?
Yep, definitely start with the risers. And fun list this week. So Dylan Beavers was a guy that I really liked in the 2022 draft, and I was a little bit upset that the Braves didn't pick him. I liked him as an outfield bat out of Cal, and I almost felt like the Braves had outsmarted me for a lot of it, because it took, as a college bat, he's kind of a guy that's taken a lot longer to kind of be a real prospect again than a lot of people thought. And you think that college bats are going to move up the ladder quickly, and he just kind of hasn't. But this season, he's looked really good. And last week, he had an OPS of 1,000, 12 for 23, two triples, two homers. Again, not like earth-shattering, and he's one of those Orioles prospects that's kind of caught behind a lot of the other Orioles prospects that they have, and they can't seem to decide between. But he has certainly made his case as being a lot more interesting now than he was even before the season started. The next one's a name that we haven't talked about here is Kalen Culpepper, who's the Twins' first-round pick last year. Again, he's kind of a guy that just does a lot of things well. He has a good arm. Is it Andrelton Simmons? No. Does he do Denzel Clark stuff? I know we're talking about Denzel Clark today, but I'm telling you, that guy's fun to watch in center field. Is he like doing like that sort of stuff? No. But he can hit. He has good feel for hitting, and he has some pop, and he can run a bit. So because his hit tool is so good, he gets to all the other stuff and is putting on some pretty good numbers. And last week was particularly good, going 11 for 26, two homers, five extra base hits total, drove in six runs, went 3 for 3 for stolen bases. Again, we love to see it. I have a soft spot for the Twins, and I hope that he turns out great for them, because they've certainly had some pretty tough luck with top prospects either getting hurt constantly or just not panning out. The last one's Jackson Wiggins. This is kind of a favorite name of mine. It's hard to say now, because I mean, you kind of have to think back as to like who else was in the conversation and how stocks rose and stuff. But he was like on the short list to be the number one overall pick in that 2023 draft out of Arkansas. But then blew out his arm, had Tommy John, and had signed an overslot deal in kind of the low second rounds, kind of one of those compensatory rounds. Wasn't great last year coming off Tommy John, but has been really good, really, really good to start the season. And last week he made two starts. 1.59 ERA, 11.1 innings pitched, two earned runs total, struck out 12 guys. Only walked one guy across two starts. Very good. The Cubs between him and Cade Horton and kind of a lot of the talent they've assembled are kind of sneaky good right now. And in the case of Wiggins, they've already called up Horton. In Wiggins' case, he's at trouble. He's at Double A now, and he's a college arm. If he is just shoving like this, I am not going to be shocked if maybe sometime in the second half that he is at least in the conversation for a big league call-up. I'm not saying it's going to happen, because a guy coming off an injury, you might want to treat him a certain way and manage his innings a certain way, but I'm not going to be shocked if it's like something that happens.
What about, unfortunately, the strugglers, which this week includes, and I'm not sure if anyone can hear Biscuit in the background, absolutely losing his mind, but if you can, you're in for a treat. This week includes, unfortunately, someone who is down for the count for the year, who is making a solid first impression in his first year in the pro ranks.
Yeah, we'll start with Bryce Rainer first. This is nothing against anything any play. He was playing very well, or at least perfectly serviceably well, in his first year in pro ball. The problem is that he dislocated his shoulder diving back to first, I believe. It looked bad when it happened. They took him in to get scans, confirmed that it was a dislocated shoulder, and also confirmed that he needed season-ending shoulder surgery, which is a real bummer, because that means he is not going to be back until 2026. Hopefully he can stay in shape. It's that shoulders are really tough, especially for hitters, just because, I mean, obviously they're almost arguably worse for pitchers, but with hitters, it's kind of hard to maintain the strength and, you know, flexibility that you need to be a good hitter, and that explosiveness when you can't really work out, you know, one of your arms. Not ideal, but again, love him as a Tigers prospect. I think that he's going to be going places, but unfortunately we have to wait a little bit to see him again. The next one's Andrew Painter, and I don't want to bag on him too much just because he's still coming back from injury and still kind of rehabbing. And this is, again, a guy that was one of the best pitching prospects in baseball before he had Tommy John. Have a funny story. A good friend of mine, his stepson played on travel ball and had his team had to play against Andrew Painter when Andrew Painter was in high school. And half the team said they wanted to go home after dealing with him because he was a bad, bad man back then. And he's still a very good pitcher now. And he had been doing really well in rehab. I suspect that he's probably still going to make it back to the big leagues relatively soon. And again, that pitch, that Phillies rotation is kind of giving me nightmares. But had a rough start last week, only went four innings, walked four guys, gave up two homers, gave up four runs. Not ideal from what you want to see from a guy coming back from an injury, but I think that might be the only bad start that he's had in his rehab, so we'll give him a pass. The other one is a guy that's been in the big leagues off and on, and that's Kumar Rocker. So he was twice first-round pick. Obviously didn't stick with the Mets because they were trying to lowball him after they discovered some sort of injury issues. The Rangers signed him anyway. He's dealt with injury issues off and on for a long time. He's a classic case where he's too good for AAA. Like, he's just going to get those guys out, but he has not demonstrated at all that he can deal with the big league opposition. You know, again, kind of the pitching version of Jordan Lawler, where, like, you put him in the AAA, he's going to hit, but then you bring him up and he just can't seem to do anything against these guys. Kind of the same idea, at least in my mind. Got sent back down, made two minor league starts, looked pretty good in those, got called back up, and immediately gave up five runs in, like, less than four innings of work against the Rays. So, not ideal. He's going to run out of prospect, you know, eligibility here before too long. I am not on the Kumar Rocker train in terms of, I think he's just was a very polished, very good college arm out of Vanderbilt and can get inexperienced hitters out. But when you have the professionals, the real guys up against, he just doesn't seem to have the stuff to get it past them. It's kind of my general read on him. And that's what I got.
That is the early look, and it's getting late early out here, sadly. Andrew Painter pitches tonight. If you want to watch, it's him face slightly higher level of competition than the children that Eric was describing. If you want to watch the opposing team maybe not run away in fear and cower in the shadows, it might be fun. Tune in to MILB.TV. One question to address before we sign off: when is Tyson Nabors expected to make his MLB debut? Now, he is quite far away. He's with the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, but these 22-year-old relievers, they could move fast. So I would say it'll be a while, but holy hell, has Tyson Nabors been fun as a relief prospect so far. I would say next year, not out of the question, though, right? I'm not sure if you differ or disagree.
No, I think that's pretty spot on. The performance has been really good. He's doing this at high A, too, so, you know, it's not that far away, really. Like, once you get the double A, that's all, like, major league call-up possible. You know, there's different breeds of, you know, double A players and even triple A players. There's a lot of triple A players that are just there for, you know, break glass in case of emergency sort of situations. But again, I like Tyson a lot. I don't see this year happening, but next year I could see him definitely getting called up.
We appreciate the question, and the Padres can always use fresh bullpen arms. They are pretty good at churning those out, but they also like to trade them when they get too expensive. So slot Nabors in there. Maybe next year is the ETA. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Again, the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show every Tuesday at noon Eastern time. The column runs on fansided.com/baseball-insiders, and plenty more weirdness there from Eric, from Robert Murray, and from myself. Subscribe to the Moonshot for a weekly dose of a baseball email newsletter you won't want to miss, and hit that join button below the show to join us in the Baseball Insiders Discord. Priority responses in this chat, private Q&A, 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday with Robert, and plenty of opportunities to badger us with questions in between. Eric, thank you so much. As always, see you next week. We will have more prospect reporting, action, speculation, discussion for everybody. Take care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.